Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the third hour of the Clay and Buck Show. Thanks for being here with us. 800-282-2882. That's the phone line. If you want to call, please let us chat with you there. We got Senator Rand Paul from the great state of Kentucky with us now. Senator Paul, thanks for being here.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
What are we supposed to make, Senator, what are we supposed to make of the recent words of Dr. Anthony Fauci that now boosters for all adults, not just those at high risk, not just those with compromised immune systems, are going to be necessary? And, oh, by the way, we're hearing from the CDC that there are concerns about a major spike after Thanksgiving COVID cases. I thought that the Fauciites had this under control, or so they told us.
You know, I would discount anything he says because he hasn't been honest with the American people. He's not considering the science at all. Over 100 million Americans have had COVID and have immunity. They won't release any of the data. The people have had COVID. Are they getting it again? What numbers are getting it again? Are they spreading it? Are people going to the hospital who have had the disease in the past? Is the vaccine safe for people who have already had the disease? Frankly, there is some element of myocarditis in teenage boys. It's small, but is it higher in those who have already had COVID? Is anybody asking people when they take their kids in, have you had COVID? When did they have it? I think this is irresponsible medicine, and Fauci and anything he says should be completely discounted. I think that he's actually a danger to public health in many ways. Because he's discounted natural immunity, he says everyone should be vaccinated. So countries like India, where there's not enough vaccine for the people, what he's done is he's delayed getting the vaccine to the elderly who are at high risk by vaccinating everyone equally. By telling us cloth masks work when they don't work, he's putting you at risk. If you have an 80-year-old person taking care of their spouse who has COVID and they wear a cloth mask instead of an N95 mask, you're actually telling them to do something that risks their health. So he's been wrong on every front, and he should be completely discounted.
Dr. Paul, the newest battleground, this is Clay, I appreciate you coming on. The newest battleground is certainly going to be vaccinating children. I've got a 7-year-old. I've got an 11-year-old. I've said on the show I'm not going to get them vaccinated because the medical data, I think 94 kids between the ages of 5 and 11 out of 28 million have died with COVID. They're under more statistical danger from the seasonal flu. I understand individual parents can make their own decisions. I believe your children are outside of that age range now. What would you be doing if you had kids ages 5 to 11 right now when it comes to vaccinating your own children if you had to make that choice?
You know, it would be individualized. It would depend on their history, their medical history, their illness history, et cetera. But all things being equal, if the children didn't have any special problems, I wouldn't vaccinate them. And I think what you're going to find is there's going to be a mass exodus from schools. There's going to be a growth in homeschooling, a growth in private schooling. There has been in the last year because people refused to show up to teach their kids in person. But now it's going to be even more. The other thing is what they're not telling us is, what are the risks of vaccinating someone who's already had COVID? We do know that you get 1,000 times greater response if you've already had COVID. Now, if you're 80 years old, that might be a good idea to get a really strong immune response, and it may protect you. But if you're a 15-year-old kid and you get 1,000 times greater response because you've already had COVID, could that be part of the autoimmune disorder that is myocarditis? So there are a lot of unknowns, and I think they have not really had samples large enough, nor have they even separated it out. They don't even bother to separate out people who have had COVID. In fact, if your child has already had COVID, they won't put them in the studies for the vaccine because they know they've already got immunity. So they actually tacitly admit that your child has immunity because they can't put them in the study. But if you don't put kids in the study that have already had COVID and you don't factor it in as a factor, we don't know if it's actually safe for kids who have already had COVID to be vaccinated.
We're speaking to Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Senator, the numbers about breakthrough cases seem to be a little bit hard to find, and if nothing else, they're certainly not being talked about regularly in most of the places that are news organizations. We also don't seem to have very reliable numbers on hospitalizations of those who are fully vaccinated, although fully vaccinated is changing. Are you able to get more insight as a member of the United States Senate into that? I mean, do we know how many people are having breakthrough cases and where they're occurring?
not necessarily from the government, because the government tries to obscure the truth, because the government wants you to do as you're told. They want you to submit to the will of the central authorities. They don't really care about you individually. They're looking at the beehive, and they've decided vaccination's the easiest way to go. Don't worry about whether you've already had it. Don't worry about immunity. Don't worry about side effects. Just do as you're told. But there are some certain things that we have learned. In the last couple of weeks, Lancet had an article that said if an infected person comes into your household, whether they've been unvaccinated and infected or vaccinated and infected, they spread the disease about the same. So all of this hogwash about, oh, we need to put the unvaccinated people in concentration camps, we need to not let them have the normal freedoms of travel and this and that because they're a danger, they're no more danger than a vaccinated person. Now, the one thing we do know, and people started saying this, that your private health is improved by being vaccinated. I do agree with that. I think that you're less likely to die, less likely to be hospitalized if you're vaccinated. But we don't have evidence that it's actually stopping the spread of the disease. What we're finding is that both vaccinated and unvaccinated can get it and can spread it equally. So I think what we need to do is try to give people the persuasive knowledge that if you are at risk, the vaccine can reduce your risk for being hospitalized or dying. But we also need to acknowledge if you've already had it, you probably have as much or better immunity now than the vaccine provides.
Senator Paul, do you hope, I'm sure you've read the Fifth Circuit's opinion striking at the heart of the OSHA requirement from Joe Biden. Do you hope that other courts also strike down this vaccine mandate? And as a bigger picture here, if Joe Biden tried to get congressional authority for his vaccine mandate, not only, I would imagine, would this fail, but I think it would fail pretty overwhelmingly, which is why he's using OSHA, a federal regulatory agency, as opposed to interacting in any way with another branch of the government. How would you analyze this? I know you're not a lawyer, but you are a medical doctor. What did you think of the Fifth Circuit opinion? Do you think other courts will have the same bravery that they did?
My hope is that it gets expedited hearing before the Supreme Court. I'd love to see this heard before the mandate goes into place. We heard a couple things at the Republican lunch today. One of the things is they're asking the different agencies like Department of Labor, Health and Human Services, these enormous government bureaucracies, how many vaccinated and unvaccinated they have in their midst of their millions of employees. They don't know. The government, they want small business to do this, to police, to be the vaccine police. The government doesn't know how many people are vaccinated or unvaccinated. They say they can't do it in time. So even the mandate on federal government, the government can't adhere to it, and they want private business to. We are also circulating a petition that is going to have a privileged vote to overturn the mandate. So there will be a vote in the Senate and in the House. It's a privileged vote, and this is to overturn the regulation at OSHA. We have 48 Republicans in the Senate signed on. So all but two Republicans have signed on to overturn this mandate.
Who are the two Republicans that have not signed on to overturn the mandate?
I don't know who that is yet. So let your staff let us know
because we will let our audience know for sure. And what's the impact? Sorry to cut you off on that, but what's the impact of that kind of vote? I'm not familiar with the procedural posture there.
The interesting thing will happen is, are there any Democrats that are going to vote against the mandate? Small businesses, employers. I mean, my sister's a doctor in Houston. She says that up to 50% of the nurses and doctors she knows around are not vaccinated. The hospitals will shut down. And so there's going to be great problems. There's going to be problems with air traffic controllers. There's going to be problems with pilots. There's going to be problems with police and fire. You talk about disrupting society. Even if it's only 25% of each of these essential services, if they don't show up. But if it passes, it has to be signed by the president. So Biden's unlikely to sign a disapproval of his own regulation. But if it passes, it'll be an amazing rebuke that he has to actually veto the will of Congress. So we'll see what happens. If we got
we have to get
a few Democrats on board to vote. We have to get all the Republicans. We had two more Republicans. But we also have to see if any – I think the mood of the country is such that there may be a few Democrats that are going to have to think long and hard about this.
Senator Paul, the infrastructure bill just got signed by Biden yesterday. The Build Back Better agenda, Nancy Pelosi, as of today on the House side, is saying they're going to get that passed before the Thanksgiving break. What do you think is going to end up being, you know, the most important takeaway, assuming that that does get through? I know the Senate's going to have to reconcile their a version of it with the House side. But if Biden ends up assigning a BBB, how bad will it be for, I don't want this to rhyme, but it will, the economy?
We have 6% inflation right now from all the borrowing and spending of last year. We're going to borrow as much or more if this passes. We're going to borrow dramatically more this year. That means you're going to have higher inflation next year. Inflation is not complicated. When you go to the grocery store, you go to the gas pump, the prices are up because we're printing up money to buy our debt. The Federal Reserve buys our debt, but they buy it with money that's created out of thin air. What happens then is prices rise. So this is sort of the bait and switch. People who want your vote, they promise you free things, free college, free health care, free school, free cell phones. It's not free. You're going to pay for it through the insidious tax of inflation, and we're going to get more of it. If this passes, we'll have added more debt in 2 years than we've ever had it in the history of our country, and the ramifications, the repercussions of this, I think, cannot be overstated.
Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, sir, we always appreciate you stopping by with Clay and Buck here. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Those faithful, loving dogs and cats in our homes are members of the family. We want them happy and healthy. We want them around for a long time. That's why we shouldn't be feeding them the dry kibble you find on the shelves of supermarkets without anything else. That food is supposed to be long shelf life stuff, months and months, maybe years. And a lot of the things you need in that process is gotten rid of because of the sterilization they do to dog food. So you need to add that good stuff back in. Probiotics, enzymes, vitamins, omega oils, antioxidants, and healthy microbacteria. That's why you need Ruff Greens. R-U-F-F Greens, Ruff Greens. It's not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement for dogs that you put into their food. You take all the live nutrients necessary for superior dog health, and you get to put it in every meal when you just add Ruff Greens. Ruff Greens will make your dog healthier by making your dog's food better. What you get is a happier and healthier dog, just like Tallulah, the Sexton family Frenchie. And this is from a listener in Louisiana, Lindsay. She wrote in, my 12-year-old Yorkie loves the taste of Ruff Greens. It's only been a couple of weeks. Already noticed a little more pep in her step. The folks at Ruff Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They have a special deal for you, the listeners to this program. Go to roughgreens.com. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. And they're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. So we've had a lot happen on the show today. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Jedediah Bela is going to be trending soon for her guest hosting spot on The View. And the fact that they shouted her down, I am seeing it spreading widely all over Twitter and social media now. She was on with us at the top of the second hour of the program. And one reason why this show is growing and dominating to the extent that it is because we have guests on and we let them talk. And we trust you to be intelligent enough to make your own decisions on a variety of different issues. And I want you to be able to compare and contrast what The View did with Jedediah earlier in terms of an interview and what we did. And I'm about to share the full View interview. We played a portion of it. She was just sharing facts, 100% factual data, and the host lost their minds. And you just heard from Rand Paul, who is also just sharing facts. And Buck, you're in New York City, which is one of the most locked down places in the country in terms of requiring vaccine mandates and masking and everything else. Mayor Bill de Blasio just came out and said, hey, we're going to have a Times Square celebration this year for the first time in, I guess, since what, 2019 turned into 2020, I guess it would have been, right? Because they certainly canceled it for 20 headed into 21. So listen to Bill de Blasio talk about this. You're going to have to be vaccinated in order to stand outdoors and freeze your ass off. I've done this before. I don't know if you've ever done it, Buck, but let's listen to...
You did the Times Square freeze your butt off thing?
I did Times Square 99 to 2000.
Good heavens, Clay.
99 to 2000. That was when everybody was saying, remember the... Y2K bug was going to shut down everything.
You would have had to pay me large sums of money. I worked at the NYPD. They actually had there was like a section you could go to if you were a city employee.
Yeah.
That was a little, and I, anyway, The answer is no, I've never done this, but it's interesting to me that you have, but let's hear what they say.
I did it 99 to 2000, and to be fair, it was so crowded early that I wasn't very close to where the ball drops, so I went for the 3 a.m. ball drop. I was actually able to get close enough to see it. I was in college, so I was with a bunch of college kids.
People wear diapers, you know that, right? Because penned in, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, I did not wear a diaper.
I wasn't saying you were. No,
I didn't know that people did that. Yeah, I did it. So I guess maybe there's still a lot of people who want to be a part of this year. I haven't heard this audio, but Bill de Blasio letting everybody know, hey, the ball's dropping, baby. We're back.
We love New Year's Eve in Times Square. We want it to be big. We want it to be full of life. We want it to be a great New York celebration. Guess what, everyone? A big, strong, full-strength celebration. It's coming back this New Year's Eve. Times Square, everyone come on down. We're celebrating. Hundreds of thousands of people there to celebrate. We can finally get back together again. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a joy for this city. Now, let's do it the right way. Let's do it the safe way. So here's how we're going to do it. We want to welcome all those hundreds of thousands of folks, but everyone needs to be vaccinated. All you need to do is have that proof of vaccination and a valid photo ID, and you are in.
How are they going to test this?
Outside? I mean, it's outside. You're not going to get COVID from people. I mean, maybe, I guess, if you're so penned in, this might be that rare time when, you know, somebody right next to you breathing in your face outside. I don't know. But even then, it's pretty, with free-flowing air, it's unlikely. Yeah, Clay, they're going to check the way they check IDs at a bar. This is what they do all over New York City.
But doesn't that seem like it's going to be a massive onrushing crush of humanity?
Of course.
If you have security guards trying to check, like, because people will all cluster close together in order to get into the ball drop area, right? So you're going to have a huge mass of humanity what.
They don't care how frustrating and annoying and slow the process will be. De Blasio doesn't care if instead of, you know, 300,000 people gathered, it's 30,000. He's going to just, this is just another opportunity to show what a big proponent of the vax mandate in New York City he is. And, I mean, Bill de Blasio could make handing out, you know, freshly baked cookies and $100 bills seem unappealing. I mean, this guy is the worst, the most awful mayor in America. He cannot leave my home city soon enough. And I know everybody listening on 710 WOR here in New York, in the New York area, knows this guy's the absolute worst, Clay. It's almost impressive how bad he is at being mayor.
So this, in many ways, though, Buck, is a little bit of a mess, right? Because if you can have hundreds of thousands of people in the streets, COVID can still spread even if they're vaccinated. Effectively, what you're arguing, I'm going to take the positive here, is things have to get back to normal.
One day. That's what we're fighting for here. The end of the year is starting now, and it's a mad dash to the new year. 6 weeks is all, folks. While most people call it the holiday season, Tommy John wants you to know it's also softness season. With the pace that you're going to keep, try to go easy on yourself and start with a new pair of Tommy John men's underwear. When you start your day wearing Tommy John, you're that much more comfortable, so you can do everything better. Tommy John men's underwear has breathable, lightweight, moisture-wicking fabric with 4 times the stretch of competing brands. That's why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics like us who've discovered the best underwear on the market today. The best ever. Plus, it's all backed by the Tommy John best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order right now at TommyJohn.com/buck. That's TommyJohn.com/buck for 20% off.
If you get vaccinated and your family's vaccinated, you can feel good about enjoying a typical Thanksgiving, Christmas with your family and close friends. We unfortunately still have a dynamics of infection in the community of about 70,000 new cases per day. So when you go to indoor congregate settings, go the extra mile, be safe, wear a mask. But when you're with your family at home, goodness, enjoy it with your parents, your children, your grandparents. There's no reason not to do that. This will end. We are not going to be going through this indefinitely. How quickly we get to the end depends on us. How well we vaccinate, how well we get boosted, and how well we do the kinds of things to protect ourselves.
Welcome back to the Clay and Buck Show. How well we get boosted, the dynamics of the congregate settings. If you listen to everything I say, if you mitigate the droplets coming out of your mouth 24/7 for just 6 months or maybe 12 or maybe 4 or 5 more years, Clay, there is a hope in the percentages somewhere in the range of 5 to 55%, which could change. We could call an audible here that at some indeterminate point in the future, you will never have to hear my stupid voice ever again.
What would have happened to Fauci if Trump had won the election? I think he would have fired Fauci within a month or so of winning the election. I think certainly by spring and summer, as cases were going down, he would have been like, okay, Fauci, you're out. But I really don't feel like we're ever going to be rid of this guy for the rest of our life. I just feel like he's never going to leave. Do you feel that way? Like he is here forever.
Of course. He loves this. Why? You know, he's turned into a person for whom getting up in the morning is really just, it's all an effort to be on TV and be the center of attention. He's a hero still to millions of delusional libs all across the country. So you and I can sit here and point out all the things he's wrong about, all the things he said,
which is everything.
That's right. And the people out there will just be like, oh, Fauci keeps me safe and warm at night. And it's like, no, he doesn't, actually. He prevents children from breathing normally in school for 8 hours a day because he's a feckless bureaucrat and a coward. And it's not just about him. It's Rochelle Walensky at the CDC. It's Vivek Murthy, the Surgeon General. It's all these different Democrat bureaucrats, Clay, who we're going to have to make them stop. We're going to have to like snap them out of it. Otherwise, this is going to go on for at least another year or two.
Here's what I think the Hail Mary is going to be, Buck. I think the Democrats are looking at all these poll numbers, and I think they know that they're going to get swamped in 2022 and get their ass kicked. And I think they're going to try to implement emergency voting in 2022 all over again, just like they did in 2020. And that's going to be their lifeline. So I think they almost desperately still need COVID to be an issue in September and October of next year. I do. I feel like if COVID goes away, then there's basically nothing left for Joe Biden.
The problem that they have with your question that we keep returning to of when does this end, essentially, the problem
how do
with
we
it,
land the plane,
yeah,
so to speak?
The problem with it is the moment that happens, people turn around and say, hold on a second, why didn't we do this months ago? Like, what have we gained from the additional months of restrictions and masking up children and all this, considering that those restrictions, as we have seen month in and month out, didn't work?
Right.
People may actually have the clarity when the scales drop from their eyes, so to speak. They may actually have the clarity to look and see what we've been put through and say, social distancing? I mean, Clay, these morons in charge were telling us to Lysol our groceries
and
they
were
measuring places outside to have people sitting a certain distance apart from each other. And they thought they were the smart ones. And they still think they're the smart ones. And this is why there's so much, I think, ego as well as anxiety and mental illness that's tied to all this. There's so much ego for people. They don't ever want to wake up and realize, wow, I've been acting like a total clown for 18 plus months now, going on 2 years. Why?
I think it's a fantastic question. And honestly, even as COVID cases now are increasing all over the Midwest and the Northeast, are you noticing how there is very little of a story being comparatively paid to that? Because when COVID cases were going up in Florida and the South, it was, oh, look at all these red state idiots. They don't know any better. They're making awful decisions. Listen right now. I'm looking at the New York Times website to the states with the highest rate of COVID. Michigan right now is number one. Blue state, dictator governor Whitmer. Minnesota, blue state. New Mexico, blue state. By the way, top three. Cases are up 68% in the last 14 days in Michigan. Cases are up 67% in the last 14 days in Minnesota. And cases are up 46% in the last 2 weeks in New Mexico. Also on this list, New Hampshire, skyrocketing cases. Vermont, skyrocketing cases. Wisconsin, skyrocketing cases. All right. The only state with a Republican governor that is with the Republican-dominated governor and legislature is North Dakota. Six of the seven states are run by governors who are Democrats and or Democratic, you know, created legislatures. Dominating, right? Not a speck of story about what's going on in the Northeast, the Midwest, how they failed to handle the outbreak. Meanwhile, Florida, all the way down, lowest rate in the United States right now at seven per 100,000. Buck, Michigan and Minnesota have 10 times the rate right now.
I just don't know. I don't understand, Clay, how Governor Ron DeSantis snuck up to Michigan and Minnesota and started spraying COVID everywhere. I mean, this top secret COVID program that they must be running out of Florida, because we were reliably informed by all the journos that Florida was an experiment in, you know, death by COVID all summer, and it was the personal responsibility of Governor Ron DeSantis. So shouldn't then he be, in this moment, the great hero? Because while other places all over the country are having huge rises in caseload, he's had this dramatic drop. And almost like they didn't change masking, they didn't change the so-called mitigation of Fauciism, and still had the huge drop-off in cases. What is it going to take for everyone? And I mean everyone. I mean the crazy libs who think the world is going to melt because of climate change. That's at least in the future. We're talking about what's going on right now. They need to understand that they've been effectively playing along with a superstition with all the social distancing and the masking stuff. Notice how we say, and we had Senator Rand Paul on before, vaccines are great for people at high risk. They're really effective at preventing hospitalization and death, particularly for people at high risk for about a maybe 6 month period, maybe 4 month period, something like that. But for that period, it does work. It is helpful that in that, you know, we speak the truth here. And yet you have people all over the country who still cling to the illusions of 18 months ago.
By the way, 99%, according to the New York Times, of people 65 and older have had at least one COVID shot. 99%.
So who's, I mean, you wonder too, who's being hospitalized and who's dying from COVID right now? They want you to believe it's only the unvaccinated. How is that happening?
The math doesn't add up. I mean, 78% of people who are dying in England right now with COVID are double vaxxed. If we've learned anything, Buck, since 2020, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful immune system. Over 20 years ago, Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. It is the original superfood. Has 55 vine-ripened fruits and veggies, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes. You can build your body's defense from the inside out. Dr. Black wants you to know your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy bacteria you come in contact with. Which is why Texas Superfood boosts your immune system better than anything on the market. Your grandma, she probably told you to eat your fruits and veggies, but with busy schedules and fast food, most people don't. That's why Texas Superfood is the safety net for the American diet, and why thousands and thousands of people have been getting their best health maintained for the past 20 years. How can you join the Texas Superfood revolution, Buck?
Go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck. Or call 855-TEXAS-55. Look, if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you, the safety net for the American diet. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/Buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back in. Final segment, Tuesday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We want to thank you guys for helping us set an all-time record for podcast downloads in October. We are the second largest radio show in terms of podcast downloads in all of iHeart. The biggest radio show in all of iHeart, and one of the five or six biggest total podcast downloads in the entire country inside of iHeart, which is the biggest audio company in the world, the biggest podcast company in the world. So that is all a testament to you, your loyalty to this show, and to Buck and I's ability to step in and continue to fight the battles that Rush cared about so much. We thank you and appreciate all of you listening every single day all over the country, either via all of your great affiliates, one of which I will be at in South Florida. I'm going to be down in Miami, Fort Lauderdale area on Wednesday and Thursday as a part of the Patriot Games on Fox News. The Patriot Games, part of the Patriot Awards. Patriot Games would be a totally different.
A very different situation.
Yes,
you know, you got a
good
make,
movie.
You got to make
movie.
Sure that you got your Secret Service detail paying attention to those IRA guys that are swarming
yes.
around your house in Maryland. So
that was a great movie.
What is the best for you,
Jack Ryan?
The
movie?
Best Jack Ryan, yeah, movie. The Tom Clancy, for anybody who doesn't know, who I still think in that genre is kind of the ultimate, but there's some other great ones.
Oh, he was so good. I loved Patriot. See, I like the Jack Ryan, Harrison Ford Jack Ryan.
He was a CIA analyst, by the way, for
yes.
those of you wondering. A CIA analyst with great hair, just putting it out there.
But so they've had Ben Affleck and Harrison Ford play Jack Ryan. Anybody else?
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin. Oh, do you like the Alec Baldwin?
When you say it out loud
Jack
now,
Ryan?
You go, ooh.
Do you like the Alec Baldwin? Are you going to turn on
I got to tell you, I think The Hunt for Red October, even though for some reason Sean Connery's character has a Scottish instead of Russian accent
yes.
as a Russian naval officer, but I overlook it because Sean Connery was amazing in his day. I think The Hunt for Red October may be the best, although Clear and Present Danger is kind of a sleeper. You know,
I like Patriot Games the best, although I will say, I love all these movies with Russian villains when the Russians speak in American Russian accents. Like, everyone just, they want them to have some degree of authenticity. They don't speak their actual language, though. They speak English with Russian accents, and we're all like, oh, I totally buy that they're, you know.
Well, this
it's
is
just
this is
such
like,
a ridiculous thing.
I want everyone to think about this. If you're watching a movie that is set in ancient Rome or Greece or whatever, not only is there this preference to always have them speaking with English accents, no apparent reason, right? Like,
yeah, right.
Why is everyone like, oh, like, I'm headed over to Athens to meet with Socrates. You're like, wait,
yeah.
But that doesn't really, but even beyond that, you have the fancy people have fancy English accents in those historical pieces. And the, you know, the plebes, the serfs, the people, they're like, oh, look, I can't, my leg hurts. I can't,
well,
you're like,
well,
wait,
here's
why?
A question that's going to blow your mind, Buck. Do you think George Washington had an English accent?
I've never thought about that before.
Right?
What would an American accent have sounded like?
That's what I'm saying. Like, did Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, like, did they act? Because we don't have recordings of their voices. Certainly by the time, you know, we get to audio, we know what an American accent sounds like. But would you, as a member of the landed gentry in the 17th and 18th century in the United States have tried to sound like you were British, in which case you would, like George Washington would have sounded like a Brit.
Well, we'll put it this way. Would the Tory, would the loyalists in America, I think those guys would have had British accents, right? I mean, and they were colonials. They were Americans. So
yeah. Only 30% of people supported the American Revolution, you know, in the colonies at the time.
And so that's interesting. I never thought about what kind of accents.
There you go.
Because, you know, we assume
tonight,
that Sam Adams is like, I got my car and a beer, you know?
Yeah.
We assume Sam Adams is throwing the Boston accent around, but I think that took some time to develop.
Yeah. I mean, we just all presume that they sound roughly like us, but the George Washington, did he have a British accent? Well, it's really rocking a lot of people's world out there right now because you're sitting around like, I mean, he was born in the very early 1700s. It's not like America had a monster population. And how did we develop a distinct accent from England? You know, that's kind of its own interesting question.
Well, one thing
question
that I think
too.
Is funny, people, because I find pirates historically to be a fascinating, and all throughout history, pirates have been the bane of central government authority and also have been, they've been essentially the rebels in many
yes.
different cultures all over the world. And you have people always go, why do pirates have that whole, you know, matey and all that stuff? It's because they're from southern England, which I think most people don't really think of because you think of these guys like Blackbeard and we think that
yeah.
they're American. There, a lot of them were from southern England and they were part of or they were people that had been trained in the British naval tradition, and they no longer had work, or they left, or they wanted to, you know, join up and do something else. So that's where, if you want to know where that accent comes from, which reminds me, a good show for a lot of folks out there, if we're recommending shows these days, Poldark. Family friendly enough, you can pretty much watch with everybody. Have you and the missus watched Poldark?
What's it called?
Poldark.
I've never even heard of it.
Great, great show. It's a Masterpiece Theater show. It's about a British officer who comes back from losing the Revolutionary War to Southern England. It's set along the coasts of Southern England. It's, look, for those of you that want more like badass action stuff, you are not going to like it that much, but it's very well done. The hubs and the wife can sit down and watch it together. It might be a little boring for you. You like high-paced, high-acting stuff.
I just like a little bit of sizzle in my shows. I mean, I'm watching Yellowstone, which, by the way, is like the most popular show in television since Game of Thrones. I mean, it is taken off. Yes.
All right, I'm going to go back to it on your recommendation, Travis, because I watched a little bit of it, and it depressed me. So I'm going to go back and try
it again. It's like Dallas in Montana would be the way that I would describe it. I love Succession on HBO, and then Ozark is the other show that's soon to be back.
Back yet, because I just watched the last season of, I finished it last night, actually, after I was prepping for the show, of course, doing the important things. Narcos Mexico. The thing I do like about it is the major historical events that they get to in the show, and the people who are actually the cartel leaders line up historically. So you do get a history of the Mexican and Colombian drug cartels from watching that show. It was pretty good. I'll give it a B+ for this most recent season.
I watched the first season and then bailed on that one. By the way, you're taking the whole crew out? You're going out for steak dinners?
Going out for steaks tonight. Only requirement, got to get it at least medium rare. None of this medium stuff. Not when the Bucksters are on.
You got to go medium rare. I wouldn't, by the way, even be able to go out with the show because I don't have my vaccine card.
We would bring you your steak at a little table outside, although it's a little chilly. I'd bring you a heater because that's the kind of teammate I am.
I'd sit by myself out on the sidewalk while everybody else was inside. I'll be in South Florida. We'll hang out tomorrow. Thanks for hanging with us.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.